It's Helping Hand, weekly feature on HPR1 stations statewide and on Friday afternoons as part of All Things Considered, and then online at hawaiipublicradio.org, where we keep Helping Hand. Each Friday, Helping Hand tries to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and to people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are welcoming back a returning guest who's been with us many times and talking about a very serious thing, too. We're going to be talking about Alzheimer's disease and doing it with the Alzheimer's Association Aloha Chapter. They are embarking on fundraising, awareness-raising walks. They've got a series of them across the state, August 17th on Kauai, September 21st in Hilo, October 26th on Maui, November 9th in Honolulu. Today we are going to learn about Alzheimer's and how we can support these events. There are a number of ways, too. We're welcoming back the Director of Development from the Alzheimer's Association Aloha Chapter, Steve Tam. It is great to see you, Steve. Welcome back.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here again.
It's awesome to see you. You have been a guest five times, I don't know how many times, many, many times, and that's both a great thing and a sad thing, because we're talking about serious stuff, and we're chipping away at it year by year, and we'll hear some of the positives Steve has uncovered relating to research coming up. But you started doing this as a volunteer. Now you work for the Alzheimer's Association Aloha Chapter as their Director of Development. Why is this fight so important to you, Steve?
Well, Dave, you know, I do this because really it's in memory of my dad, who this is the sixth anniversary of the death that he passed away with Alzheimer's. And so for him, you know, what I remember so much and so vividly about him is that family is so important to him. And, you know, I'm constantly reminded nowadays, you know, about my son and my daughter, you know, who remember him so well. And he took care of them when they were young. To this day, they still call their grandmother my mom. And they ask about the recipes that this Chinese-Hawaiian man used to make for them for dinner. And they ask about the oxtail soup or the pig's feet, and how do you make that? Because they don't live in Honolulu right now. They're on the mainland, but they still cherish those memories, those dinners that we had. And so they are always asking about, well, how did Papa make this? And so it's a very special memory to them, and it's something that I want to see that they keep, you know, forever. You know, because it's heartbreaking that to know that, you know, when my dad, towards the end stage of Alzheimer's, he really couldn't talk, and I don't know if he even remembered, you know, their names. And so I want to get to the day when we find that cure for Alzheimer's, you know, if nothing else for my son and my daughter, but for also all the other grandchildren and future generations as well.
Sixth anniversary of his passing, is that what you just said?
That's right.
So is it this particular date or right in August of 2013?
No, it was in July, actually.
July of 2013.
Right.
Wow. That's why we've connected all these times. You know, it was May 2013 when I lost my mom. So that's an interesting little parallel in our journey. Alzheimer's, recently on the show, Steve, we were a few weeks, months, not that long ago, there was that big Alzheimer's conference that happened in California. I was actually did a news piece on it because they were talking about that research in Japan and how there's some advancement coming. And part of that discussion, and we'll hear a little bit about that in a moment, but part of it is that awareness of what is Alzheimer's, because Alzheimer's is a form of dementia, and you also hear about dementia, and it's a rising rate of people you seem to hear are affected by one or the other, and they are related, and Alzheimer's is dementia. So talk about what is the difference between the two terms.
Sure. Thanks, Dave, because I get that question the most. You know, what is the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's? Dementia is the umbrella term for memory loss and other cognitive abilities that they lose. And, you know, what happens is that when you lose those cognitive abilities, it interferes with daily life. And Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia. It probably is about 60 to 80% of all cases of dementia right now. You know, when people say, or get say that they're diagnosed with dementia, it actually is an incomplete diagnosis, because, you know, the question really is, what type of dementia do you have? It's similar to if someone said that
cancer.
They were, diagnosed with cancer, people are going to ask,
what kind, right? Because it could be any number of things.
Right.
That's a good analogy to help people understand. But also, it's more than, let me put this a tiny bit. No, you don't move it off. Stay right where you are. You're good. It's also more than memory loss. And you were there firsthand to watch it. Describe a little bit of that for folks.
Right, because, you know, people think, okay, Alzheimer's or dementia, you know, it's just what happens when you get old. That's not the case, because it's not a normal part of aging. You know, it's a progressive and a fatal disease that really attacks and kills the nerve cells and tissues in the brain. And so, you know, in the case of like my dad and with other people as well too, what happens is it affects the ability for people to remember, also to think, and also to plan, and ultimately to function, and their bodily functions are affected as well too.
It's an absolutely frightening disease. There are so many frightening ones. This one, I think, scares many people. And there are warning signs. And I always think it's one of the more important parts of the segment that we do together, because many people are listening, and many people could be affected, and many people may have some of this going on. So speak to that.
Sure. Well, the Alzheimer's Association developed a list of 10 signs to help understand really the difference between normal aging and possible dementia. You know, I can't go through all the signs, but, you know, to kind of go through some of them right now, you know, one of the signs is memory loss that disrupts daily life. And really what I'm talking about is, you know, forgetting recently learned information, for example. Another sign is challenges in planning or solving problems. And that's, you know, something like, you know, keeping track of monthly bills, you're no longer able to do that. Or another thing might be a difficulty in completing familiar tasks. For example, driving to the food market, or to the drugstore, something like that, which is very commonplace, but they forget how to do that. Confusion with time or place. Forget where they are, or maybe how they got there. Trouble with visual images or spatial relationships, you know, meaning that there's trouble with judging distances and determining colors or contrasts, and that causes problems in being able to drive. So these are the types of signs that there are there, you know, trouble with conversation and words. You might forget names and call everyday objects the wrong name, or misplacing things, you know, or placing things in places they shouldn't be. For example, putting something in the refrigerator that shouldn't go there, like a book or something like that, and not knowing why it's there. So these are examples of some of the signs.
How about indecision? The inability to make a major decision, or when it comes to any kind of, like, you can do the smaller decisions, but when it comes to a larger decision, maybe deciding to go on a trip that's going to cost a lot of money, or any kind of thing where you have to make a choice. Is that an area that?
It's something where caregivers need to be careful and mindful when they're asking their loved one to make a decision. You know, would you care for this, or would you care for that, or would you care for this? To give multiple choices oftentimes is very difficult for someone with Alzheimer's, because first of all, they might not be understanding what you're asking or the words, and it takes them a while to even comprehend too. So anything that you ask, there might be a delay in their answering because of the fact that they're still trying to process what you're trying to say. Much less if you're giving them two or three choices, it does become very difficult for them too.
And another question that's like escaping my mind. Hang on, let me find this question, because it's an important one. So the first symptoms that show up in a person aren't always the same symptoms, right? So it could be any number of the things you just described. So it's not like it's going to be one particular symptom. And Steve's nodding his head. And I'm asking that because, and you've told me before, and forgive me that I don't remember it, but I think it may be some usefulness in the conversation. If you thinking back, the very first things, the very most subtle things, very subtle, that your father experienced that you thought, that doesn't quite seem right. And then years later, maybe you connected the dots and said, I bet that was the first signs that I was seeing of it.
Sure. You know, for example, memory loss of something very simple, like taking the garbage can out.
That's right. On a certain night of the week.
On a certain night of the week.
Okay. Right.
And so, you know, maybe you're supposed to take the gray bin out on a Wednesday. But here he was taking it out on a Monday. And so it's, hey, Dad, he's thinking that it's a Wednesday. And so he doesn't realize that because of the fact that he's losing that sense of time, for example.
That was one of the very first subtle ones, like a little, yeah, where you, right?
Am I getting, yes, that's a very, very much a subtle sign. It's like, oh, you're getting forgetful. Or maybe something like, okay, your doctor's appointment, you know, I would tell him the doctor's appointment is at 10:30. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, he would say, okay, the doctor appointment, okay, I'll see you, you know, at the doctor's appointment. We're going to it at 11 a.m. So something like that, where you tell something or there's something that just they heard, but they can't remember it.
And the critical thing is, again, these are not guaranteed to be the first symptoms that could happen in your loved one's life, but it's interesting to know because you've been there.
It'll change for each individual. And so people are going to experience one or more of these signs in varying degrees. It's not going to be the same for everybody. And, you know, your next door neighbor might be totally different as well, too.
So if you experience some of this stuff, what's your advice for folks as far as what the Alzheimer's Association would say?
Well, I would say that the biggest thing is that if you see any signs of any kind of memory loss or cognitive inabilities there, to go and check with and make an appointment with a doctor, because then they are able to do a cognitive assessment for you. It's really interesting, too, that when you do go to a doctor, what the Alzheimer's Association has found out, too, is that families oftentimes are expecting a doctor to do a cognitive assessment, you know, to determine if they have dementia or Alzheimer's in particular. We find that there is a disconnect. We're not only talking Hawaii, but across the nation, because in turn, the doctors are expecting the families to ask for that kind of cognitive assessment. So we have both the family and the doctor both waiting to be asked for it.
Right.
And
so
because
it
nobody
late.
Asked, then there is no cognitive assessment there.
Right. Which delays any kind of treatment.
Which delays the you know, knowing and also planning for, you know, what's going to happen in the future.
Right, because I kind of said the wrong thing. It's not really treatment. I mean, there is no cure for this, and the numbers, and then we'll talk about what some of the things that, you know, the upside of the research and stuff in a second. But it's a large number of people, right? I mean, talk about, just to paint a picture for people. There's, you know, drop some of those numbers.
Sure. Alzheimer's is something that is so prevalent within the community. You know, it is something that affects about 5.8 million Americans, and it's something that in Hawaii there's about 29,000 people with the disease and 65,000 unpaid family caregivers. So there's about 100,000 people in Hawaii alone that are impacted by Alzheimer's. You know, it's something where it's a sixth leading cause of death in the U.S., and it actually kills more people than breast cancer and prostate cancer combined. To kind of put it into a little more perspective, every 65 seconds, someone develops the disease.
And it is basically 1 in 10 of all people 65 and older has Alzheimer's.
Yeah, it's a disease, you know, that is more prevalent with age, and that actually is the greatest known risk factor.
Is there early onset of some kind?
There is early onset Alzheimer's too, and so that we typically say is someone that has Alzheimer's or diagnosed with it about age 50 to 65, and so across the nation, there's about 200. 200,000 people with early onset Alzheimer's.
Doesn't come earlier than
That it does in a few cases, but that's when we see it the most.
Okay, right. That's when it would be more common.
Yeah, and what we also know is that after the age of 65, the risk of developing Alzheimer's
goes way up.
In fact, every 5 years after age 65, the risk of it doubles.
Right. Yeah. Just by the time you're 85, it's a third of all people.
Right. 85, a third of all people you're going to find have some form of dementia.
But it gets back to what you were saying, that it was always a misconception when people thought, oh, this is a natural part of aging, because the flip side of that is 66% don't have it.
That's right.
So it shows that it really is not a normal part of aging, because if that was like, let's say, a vote, 66% versus 33, 66 is a huge number. You know, it's obviously the bigger portion don't have it. So if you're experiencing these symptoms, you really do want to get it looked at, because there's a chance that, you know, it is something serious. And obviously, and it can be confused with other things too. So it's important to get batteries of cognitive testing, right?
Right, because people are afraid. So oftentimes they don't want to ask, or they don't want to get diagnosed. However, you know, there are instances and certain cases where, you know, it might not be Alzheimer's.
Right.
So you want to find out, because there might be some other physical issues which are causing the memory loss or something like that. And possibly there are medications
that
or something that can help. And in that case, because it's not Alzheimer's, you know, it can be reversed.
And so on that note of helping, because Alzheimer's there are limits to what can be done with this disease. There is no cure. It is fatal. But there's some stuff that can be done either to reduce the risk of it, make folks a bit more comfortable. Go into that.
Yeah. So the Alzheimer's Association is finding that there's substantial evidence that people can reduce the risk of dementia. In fact, the association is conducting what's called the U.S. Pointer Study. And what's happening is we're evaluating whether lifestyle interventions can protect cognitive function. And so when we say lifestyle interventions, what we're seeing is that, and not surprisingly, that things such as physical activity is going to help. And not, you don't have to be a marathoner, but just being physically active. Mm. You know, no surprise, discontinuing smoking. Blood pressure, we're finding, is something that is very important, to aggressively manage blood pressure. So to keep it under the 120 makes a big difference. And to also manage diabetes as well, too. Diet is important, you know, so that you do have vegetables and fruits. And you don't have to be a vegetarian, but, you know, less meat, less fatty meats, things like that.
The organization is there to kind of also, when you have questions, too, you can reach out to the Alzheimer's Association. Here, they have locations across the state, and you guys also have a 24/7 hotline. So talk a little bit about, as we head towards talking about the walk, some of the services that you guys have.
Sure. The Alzheimer's Association, and in particular the Aloha chapter, serves all the people in Hawaii. You don't have to be a member. There is no charge or anything like that. And all of our programs and services, you know, are free to the public. You know, we are headquartered, we're headquartered in Honolulu, but we have staff on all the islands, whether it be Kauai, Maui, Hawaii Island as well, too. And really, our main goal is to be able to support those people that have Alzheimer's and also their caregivers. You know, the vision is a world without Alzheimer's, and what we're trying to do is eliminate Alzheimer's disease, you know, through the advancement of research, and to provide and enhance that care and support for all of those people that are affected. We're located, for those that don't know, in the Nimitz Center, Nimitz Business Center, off of Nimitz Highway on the second floor of that building. And the public is welcome to stop by or to also call us up as well, too.
And you guys have, there's a lot of researchers trying to make something go forward. There's been some successes that, like I said, we talked about on All Things Considered not long ago. The Japanese research in particular that some of these guys were up to. What can you say about research?
Sure. What we're finding out now is that oftentimes when people are diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and it's typically in their mid-60s or so, it oftentimes is too late in the sense that the brain tissue has already been damaged significantly. So it's not something that, you know, medications are there that can reverse that right. damage. What is being looked at now is that the early signs of Alzheimer's starts in middle age, you know, so 20 years or so before those signs of Alzheimer's hit someone in their 60s. And so the researchers are looking at how can we find out early on that someone has Alzheimer's or is going to get Alzheimer's, because at that point then maybe intervention can happen.
And that's like a blood test or something they're coming up with?
Right now you're hearing a lot of promising stuff in the media about blood tests. And so that maybe there's a blood test that might be able to help detect, you know, the presence of Alzheimer's. You know, a new study that the media has talked about shows that a blood test may be able to detect changes in the brain, you know, related to memory loss and cognitive decline. Researchers were able to measure the levels of something called beta amyloid, which is a protein associated with Alzheimer's. And that level in the blood, they think can be a predictor as to right. whether or not, you know, you're going to have Alzheimer's in the future, depending upon how much of that protein is there. The results, though, let me caution you, are still very right. preliminary.
Exactly.
And there is no blood test yet. But, you know, that's something that we're trying to go towards.
And this is just to tell, this is just possibly a test that might be able to determine if somebody is going to have it or likely to have it. This is not anything related to curing it so much as being able to detect it earlier.
Yeah, it's to be able to detect it earlier, but we're very hopeful or we're very optimistic because this is really kind of the first steps.
Right.
You know, you need to be able to do this. You need to be able to
gotta
identify
start somewhere.
The cause.
Yep.
Because you can't identify the cure if you don't even know the
right.
cause.
No, it's very important, and that's a great point. And there's so when you help the Alzheimer's Association with these walks, a bunch of that funding goes to all these different resources that we're talking about, including supporting their 24/7 helpline, which is a national function of the organization, which is another invaluable way to deal with that shock of having it and to deal with questions that come up. And so these walks to end Alzheimer's across the state are all opportunities to for people, you know, when you donate a small amount of money or when people get involved in these walks, that adds up, and that's how this organization funds some of their programs. There are Kauai, August 17th, Hilo, September 21st, Maui, October 26th, Honolulu, November 9th. So just as the organization has service and people and staff in a lot of places, they have ways for you to tap your philanthropic side. Talk about how people can get involved in these series of walks and give them an idea about the way that it works.
Sure. Thanks, Dave. And really how I got involved in it too and how other people as well is because of the fact that, you know, they might be caregivers or they might know someone that has Alzheimer's, whether it be a family member or a neighbor. And they're not researchers. They're not scientists. They're very much affected by what's happened to their loved one. And they're searching for ways to be able to make a difference, you know, and to be able to show their love for right. their family members. And the walks are a way to demonstrate that as well, too. And it's something where I can't find that cure for it because I'm not a scientist, but I can sure walk or raise funds
that's right.
and do that in honor or in memory of somebody that I know. And so what happens is that we rely upon volunteers, whether they be working or they're retired, and we need them to help out, you know, either to be on the planning committee, you know, that plans and implements it. Also, you know, if they're working, to be able to start a team, a company team, And that team can have employees that are joining that team, and they raise funds, for example, for Alzheimer's research and support groups and things. Also, schools and clubs, community clubs.
Any group you're part of, any group that you're in, you could say, hey, how about we do this as a outreach of what we do together?
Sure. Do something, form a team, get people to join it, and then also go to the walk. You know, walk together as well, too. Meet some of and see some of the hundreds, if not in Honolulu's case, over 1,500 people that are going to be at the walk, and see that there's a lot of people affected, and it's not something that is only me, and I'm in this alone.
And your presence there is showing these people support, too, as you were pointing out when we were talking earlier. You know, it's just for people who are facing this with a loved one, when they see other people there at a walk, especially like you're saying, if you're just touched by it and you don't have anyone in your life with Alzheimer's, but you just want to give back, that's going to make a huge difference in the lives of those people at the walk, just seeing more people, like you said, who are there showing support.
That's right. You know, it's something where it's just so heartwarming to see so many people there.
Right.
Everybody that registers for the walk and goes to the walk gets one of our signature, what we call promise flowers. And those flowers are different colors because they represent different things. For example, someone can pick a purple flower. A purple flower is carried by someone that has lost a loved one to Alzheimer's disease. A blue flower is for someone that has Alzheimer's disease. A yellow flower is for a family caregiver. And an orange flower is for someone that supports, you know, the cause. It's really special because, you know, during the walk ceremony itself, the program, you know, we bring someone to the stage to represent all four of those flowers. But the culmination of that is that we have somebody on the stage, we bring someone on the stage that carries a white flower. That white flower is very powerful and meaningful to people because it represents that first Alzheimer's survivor.
Right on.
And that's why everybody is there for the walk, to see that day when there's that first Alzheimer's survivor.
And if you're someone with resources that can provide water, food, door prizes, that's another way. There are so many different ways that someone could support this event. And maybe you can't make it to the event for one reason or another. You could help provide those supplies.
Yes. So, you know, we very much are grateful for the business community as well, too, because they can be a sponsor. And they also can provide in-kind donations, whether it be water or, you know, food or things like that.
And if you are inclined, you can reach out on a volunteer basis, as you already sort of mentioned it. You need people to plan this stuff. So throughout the year, it's not just the events, but there are all kinds of ways throughout the year that people can provide support by being volunteers. And people can also reach out to you guys, right, and say, hey, and if you need control groups or people to be part of any studies, let me know. And is that an area where that people could volunteer to?
Yes. What happens, Dave, is that there's so many different areas. You know, for example, even with the walk, it's something where we start planning for it as soon as the walk ends, actually.
Right.
And so it's a year-long effort in our case. You know, what happens at the walk, you know, you also can be exposed to and meet other volunteers that are doing other things to help out the Alzheimer's Association. For example, we need people that are going to be community educators,
right.
You know, people that go out into community and explain Alzheimer's. Also support group facilitators, because we have support groups all across the island and on the other islands as well, too, where family caregivers can meet, you know, to really learn more about how to take care of a loved one. We also are very much wanting to make sure that our federal and state legislators are aware of the huge public health crisis that we have with Alzheimer's. And so we advocate and push for funds and from state and federal government as well, too.
And so people who have had experience doing that sort of thing, who would like to leverage their skill set when it comes to dealing with legislators or advocating, would be welcome too, right? Because they can help you guys in that way. It's sort of like people who know how to get grants or people who have a legal background representing folks with disabilities. Anybody who is touched by it, there is a way to help. There are so many different kinds of opportunities.
Yes, if they want to work from an advocacy standpoint or volunteer, there's something that we call trial match, where, you know, at the walk, or you can even just call our office, you know, and learn about how you can help advance research by participating in clinical trials. What happens is we have sort of a matching service where we will match people with studies that are going on as well, too. And, you know, it's up to them if they want to participate or not.
Well, there's a lot of ways that you can support this organization. And it's really at the level that's most comfortable for you. And you can do it financially with your time. If you don't have money, you can participate in studies, help them with skills that you've got or some way of plugging your background in. Let me give you the contact information. You can reach them online at alz.org/Hawaii. When you do that, you can learn more about the four upcoming events that are happening. You can register for them. You can also reach out to them that way and volunteer your support. You can give them a call if there is something that we discussed today and you want to know more about it or you have an idea for a way to help them. Or obviously you need support, 808-591-2771. Do you have the 800 number handy there, or I can just add it myself later?
People are always able to go to the 1-800 number, and that is 800-272-3900.
And that is, what is that again?
800-272-3900.
Okay. And the 24/7 helpline, which is a national function, and when you support the organization, you're helping to support that, 800-272-3900. I have all the contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. And we have four compelling ways that folks can get involved with supporting an organization that really is looking for support year-round in a variety of tasks that are there for volunteers to step up to the plate and help with. August 17th on Kauai is the first of their four fund and awareness-raising walks, September 21st in Hilo, October 26th on Maui, November 9th in Honolulu, and time for folks to make plans to put together teams or other methods that they can tap into their philanthropic side to support the Alzheimer's Association Aloha Chapter. Final thoughts, Steve?
Thank you, Dave. You know, I just want to let the public and Hawaii residents know that they're not alone, but that Alzheimer's, they need to know, is not a normal part of aging, and it is a disease. Now, it's important that we pay attention to what's going on with our brain health and also not dismiss any changes that we may be experiencing as normal aging. Any change that's unusual for your level of functioning or that of someone around you is cause for concern. If you see something like that, get help, you know, get info and support, talk to a doctor to see if there's something that, you know, can be done.
And you can call these guys as a first step if you need guidance on any of it, right? You can make them your very first call, and they will give you the confidence to talk to your doctor or direct you to a healthcare provider that can help you to assess what's happening with you. It is the Alzheimer's Association Aloha Chapter, and fighting the largest form of dementia, Alzheimer's disease. Steve Tam is their director of development and a returning guest that we are very proud to have on Helping Hand. And I'm wishing you nothing but huge success in your endeavors and with everybody who is supporting the organization. Thank you so much for being a beacon of inspiration to many people listening.
Thank you, Dave. And it's our pleasure, and we appreciate your support as well.